In the reading of the Passion today, we see the end of Jesus' life on this earth. The culmination of all the battles and confrontations fought in his life. So many times we read where it said that, and they wanted to put Jesus to death, but he walked through the middle and went away. Or they wanted to arrest him, but couldn't lay a hand on him. But today, it all comes to its climax, its close. It is the end of the earthly battle for Jesus. The endings of battles can often be ugly, as our gospel was today. Crowds and riots breaking out and people shouting and great violence being done. But a very different picture was painted on this day, Palm Sunday, 1865, as the Civil War in America was coming to its close. It was on this Palm Sunday day of that year that Ulysses S. Grant and Robert E. Lee met at Appomattox Courthouse to officially declare the end of the Civil War with the surrender of Robert E. Lee. Lee himself had debated long as to whether or not this should be the end. His army was proud and, although certainly weak, not yet completely defeated. He knew he could fight on, but he knew that it would be at the cost of many, many more lives. And in the end, the chance of victory was small. He did not want to risk the death of so many and chose rather to offer himself in surrender. As he went to Appomattox Courthouse, Lee himself thought that he would probably be hanged as a traitor, executed for crimes of treason against the United States. But he went to offer himself knowing that it would save many lives and hopefully bring a peaceful end to the war. But in his mind, he feared that indeed there would be more violence, that his beloved army would be crushed and wiped out. Imagine the surprise then, as he arrives at Appomattox Courthouse and General Grant greets him cordially, this firm handshake. They sit down and exchange some pleasantries of the day, as if two great warriors, thankful for the end of the battle, but with great admiration for each other, knowing that the battle they had fought, that they, in their own ways, each fought for a noble cause, almost appreciative of the gallant effort of each other. Two great generals congratulating each other almost on a formidable opponent. Over the course of their little discussion, eventually Lee himself moves on towards the business at hand, signs the surrender, but then is again surprised to find that rather than Grant telling him of the great sacrifices that his army would have to make, that they would all be put in prison or arrested or killed, Grant instead tells him that he accepts the surrender and that now his army is to promise not to fight anymore and they can all go home in peace. A great, great twist of events at the end of a war that had been so bloody and so filled with acts of violence and bloodshed. It called out for a great kind of climax in which finally the enemy defeated would be firmly conquered. Grant had Lee's army completely surrounded with no escape. The last thing Lee wanted to do was surrender, but the situation forced it. Grant, if he wanted to, at that moment, could have completely crushed Lee and his army, and instead says, go home. Promise not to fight anymore, and let's end this. Let's begin the process of rebuilding our country. The historians say that one of the most deciding moments here was when Lee was riding away. Grant actually took off his hat and tipped it to Lee as a final salute. Lee rode back to his army and said, go home. It's over. If you make half as good as citizens as you did soldiers, you will do well. With that, Lee fought no more. Peace came without the kind of bloodshed that we see in the gospel today. No mobs, no riots. Peace, because of the humility of two men, Robert E. Lee, who had the humility to surrender, and Grant, the position of strength, who had the entire outcome in his hand, choosing not to fight. It would have been an easy victory, but he says, no, there's been enough bloodshed, and Grant, too, lays down his weapons. We know that this event was possible not just because of Grant, but most especially because of Abraham Lincoln. Just the month previous, sensing that the war was coming to an end, in his second inaugural address, Lincoln prayed for the end of bloodshed. And then, seeing in the likelihood of a Union victory, he set the tone by saying that there should not be mobs and violence, that there must not be celebrating over the death of the Confederate Army, that there must rather be peace, reconciliation, and reconstruction. He said famously that with the ending of the war, we should seek to rebuild with malice toward none, with charity for all. What an incredible, peaceful end to such a bloody conflict. This peaceful surrender won for our country the freedom that we have today. For although the war had to be fought, the peace that came about only through the great humility and the refusal to fight of two great men. We see in our gospel today not the new birth of a nation, but the reconstruction of the entire world. Jesus himself, faced with all the violence, knowing of all the bloodshed, the mobs, Jesus, in the greatest act of humility, says, I want peace. I will not fight. It seems almost wrong in the face of his trial that there he is with all the power. Like Grant, Jesus had all the power in the face of his trial, and yet Jesus says, I will not fight. His words are so few in his trial. No big defense. He had said previously, if he wanted to, he could call down an entire army of angels to defend him. He had the power. And yet he says, no. It would mean the death of the entire world if I were to forgo the cross. At the end of the Civil War, we know that tragically, 5 days later, after that Palm Sunday surrender, that on Good Friday, Abraham Lincoln was tragically assassinated by John Wilkes Booth. Booth himself thought that he would be a great hero in the South. He yelled famously on the stage, "Sic semper tyrannis, thus always the tyrants." He saw Lincoln as a tyrant who had oppressed the South, and he thought if he could escape to Virginia, he would be welcomed as a hero. But to his tragic surprise, the South was greatly distressed at what Booth had done, because they too had recognized that in a great twist of fate, Lincoln was in fact the best friend the South ever had after the war, because he set the tone of reconstruction, not revenge. Jesus today accomplishes that greatest act of reconstruction, not revenge. God would have been greatly justified in the face of all the insults lashed against him to just throw up his hands and say, I've had it, enough with this people, and wiped out the whole world. He had all the power. Instead, Jesus, in great humility, says no, not revenge, not retaliation, but in love, he says, I wish to rebuild. Let us begin the great reconstruction of the human race. And so, we too, like John Wilkes Booth, killed the best friend we ever had. But in this great twist of fate in God's love, thus was accomplished the greatest event in history, The debt of our sins was paid, and new life, a true reconstruction, was offered to all of us. As we journey with Jesus through the events of this Holy Week, let us be thankful. Thankful for the greatest act of humility that was ever offered, when God Himself submitted to the cross, submitted Himself to our hands, and through His humility won for us the beginning of the greatest reconstruction ever accomplished.